Chronicles 7:14. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11 this evening. Forgot to get wired up here. I mentioned this morning in the Sunday school class that what we was going to be doing this evening, kind of a little question here for you. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, and in Luke chapter 11, both, you have the same lesson here on prayer. We just had a song about prayer. Our Sunday school lesson was about prayer, studying about prayer. Now, here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, well, let's see here. Verse 9, actually, is where we need to start. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner. And then it goes into, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, he says, pray after this manner. Now, let's go over to verse 25 of the same chapter. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, yet for your body, or what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So, in Matthew chapter 6, when it says, give us this day our daily bread, in verse 11, and then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, give no thought of what you eat or drink. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. We're going to see this evening what this is bread is and what this example of prayer is about. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask for guidance and direction and help as you open up the Word of God and you might help us understand some more about prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reason I wanted to share this within Matthew and in Luke, because in Matthew chapter 6, in the same chapter in the Bible, we have, this is all about prayer. It's about fasting and about prayer and alms and all these things. Matthew chapter 6 is all about prayer. Well, in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar in certain areas. In other words, many of them tell the same story. Matthew, Mark, and Luke many times have the same story in them. Now, sometimes John has the same story in them, but lots of John is different from the others. But these are called the Gospels. So if you look at the story that is in each one of these and you compare them, then you get a whole picture of what the story is about. So we're going to go over to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we have the same thing here. Now, many times this is called the Lord's Prayer. But that is really a misnomer because it is not the Lord's Prayer. It is the Lord teaching us how to pray. Look here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Talking about John the Baptist. Teach us to pray. Okay. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. The same thing we read over in Matthew. Many children are taught to memorize this prayer. And they say it when they lay down at night and different things like that. But what we're going to see is this is not a memorized prayer that we're supposed to quote to God. He, as we said this morning, wants to hear from your heart. He doesn't want to hear something that you've memorized. He wants to hear what's on your heart as you talk to Him. But after this manner, He said, pray. When you pray, this is an example on what needs to be in our prayer life. So we're going to look at this here a little bit. Our Father is where it starts. This means that you are saved, that He is your spiritual Father in heaven. So many, just about everybody prays at some time or another. But a lot of those prayers never get to the ears of God because they're not even saved. They're not even believers in God except when an emergency comes. One of the conditions for prayer is for Him to be your Father, your spiritual Father. Yes, He watches over everything, but He's waiting for that one prayer when you ask Him to save you. And many times God does things in people's lives, and they account that as salvation. For instance, somebody's in the hospital, they're all sick, and they're getting ready to die, and they pray to God that they don't die. Well, they don't die, so because they don't die, they believe they're a Christian. Well, think about this. If they had died then, they'd have went to hell. God kept them alive so they could get a chance to get saved. And that's happened many times. I've run across many times where that's happened. But our Father, that's the first condition, which art in heaven. This classifies who we're talking to, and some of the perversions have left in heaven out because that just makes it to any God. Well, there's only one God that's in heaven, and that's the Lord God, our Father. So that qualifies who you're talking to, where He's at, where your prayers are going, who you're petitioning, and then it says, hallowed be thy name, holy. God is holy. His name is holy. So we're talking to God, who is our spiritual Father, who is heaven, and that He is holy. Holy means no sin at all in God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Jesus told Pilate He came to set up His kingdom in men's hearts. There is coming a time with the second coming of Jesus, when Jesus comes back, that He is actually going to set up His kingdom in Jerusalem and rule from Jerusalem. But a king is over a kingdom. So Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want His kingdom to take place. Also, you're asking Him to be king of your life. And you're asking Him to be king in your family's life. Thy kingdom come. And it says, thy will be done as is in heaven. As be done as in heaven. Thy will be done. God does not have one problem getting His will done in heaven. Now, when it comes to dealing with us, sometimes that's a little bit different story. So we want God to have freedom, the same freedom that He has in heaven. We want Him to have that same freedom in our lives. That will be done as it is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Free will, just as He has in heaven, in our lives. You see, when you learn this prayer and learn what this prayer is about, those are the parts that should be part of your prayer life. These are things that should be in your prayer life, that you recognize that He's God, that you recognize that He's holy, that you recognize that He's in heaven, you recognize that He's coming again, and you want Him to come again, you're ready for Him to come again, and you want His will to be done in your life. freely. All of that is what it's saying here in verse 2. This is all supposed to be a part of your prayer life. Then, verse 3. Give us this day by day our daily bread. Now, we just read over in Matthew 6:25 where it says, take no thought about what you're going to eat or drink. Later on in Matthew, it takes no thought about what you're going to wear, all of those things. God is not going to say, pray for something to eat over here, and then over here say, don't worry about what you're going to eat. But we're going to get to that in a minute. Just hang on to that thought. We're going to come back to that because I want to kind of keep this in context here. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins. That's when you confess your sins to God. Over in Matthew, it says we're supposed to love, in Matthew chapter 5, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. If you can't forgive someone, then why should you expect God to forgive you? Remember the story he talks about when a man came to him, he owed him all this money, and he says, I forgive your debt. And the one he forgave that debt to went to somebody that owed him money and said, hey, give me my money. And the owner found out about it and says, hey, I just forgave you of this huge amount and you won't forgive him of that little bit? He says, heck with you, you're going to jail, man. Debtor's jail. Forgiveness in a Christian's life. Now, it says, lead us not into temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. God is faithful and just, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. Being tempted is not sin. Giving in to the temptation is sin. That's what it tells us in James chapter 1. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. But if you give in to that temptation, then that's sin. As I tell the guys, the first look was just an accident or a mistake or you saw it. The second look was sin. Now, he says, deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He will help you. Your prayer life is about who it is, our Father, about how that He's in heaven, about how that He's holy, about His kingdom coming, about His will being done in your life, about your daily bread, about forgiving of our sins as we forgive others, and keeping away from temptation, keeping away from evil. Helping you to live a Christian life. Helping you to walk the straight and narrow. Helping you to be an example for Jesus. These are things that are part of our prayer. But that's not the end of it. Verse 5. And. See that word there? And in verse 5. He is still teaching them about prayer. See, this part of it wasn't over in Matthew. That's why you've got to get in Matthew and Luke and put both of them together and see what's going on. See this word and here? And he said unto them, he's still teaching them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, or persistence, perseverance, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10. For everyone that asketh and receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You got to look. Verse 11. If a son ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13. This is a very good key verse to this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Verse 14 goes off into a whole other story about casting out a devil. The gift comes from the Holy Spirit. And he's giving you unction on high from the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at something here in verse 5. The word friend is used twice in verse 5. Do you see the difference in the word? One of them has a capital F. One of them does not, huh? What does a capital letter at the beginning of that mean? It's a person's name. All names begin with a capital letter, right? This is not a typo or a mistake. Look here. In verse 5, and he said unto him, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You have a friend. God the Father. You have a friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you go to this friend. Friend is the first friend is the characteristic of the person. You are my friend. Your name is Virginia. You are my friend, but your name is friend. Friend is the characteristic of God. He is your friend. But he is also, his name is friend. I mean, God has hundreds of names. Light, everlasting, Father, God, Jehovah, Holy, Christ, Jesus, all of these names. Everlasting light, water, the rock. Friend. God is your friend. God is your heavenly Father. God is holy. And God is there to be your friend. God wants to be your friend. Was God a friend of Adam when they walked and talked in the garden before sin? Yes. Was God a friend of David, Paul? He was a friend to them. Moses, he was a friend. Knew him face to face. He is your friend, but he's also God. You need to be able to go to him as a friend and as the friend, and talk to God. Now, he is going to God and asking for bread. Who did Jesus say he was in John chapter 6. He is the manna from God. He is the bread of life. It's not going to tell you to ask for bread to eat. And then in the same chapter tell you not to worry about what you're going to eat. When we have that happening in our life, when we have that confusion in the Bible, the confusion is us and not God. Remember I told you John 6:63? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life, the flesh profiteth nothing. Apply it spiritually and not physically. It says the Father has know what you need before you ask for it. He is going to take care of you. He says, look at the lilies. Look how He takes care of them. He says, a bird falls, a sparrow falls, and He knows it. He watches over you. So, when does this friend that comes to the man in our story, he has somebody come to him at, when does he come to him? At midnight. At midnight. Now, that's a strange time to make a call, isn't it? And it's not because he's starving. He's come to me. And what is the problem? What is the problem? What does he say? I have what? Nothing. You guys got your gears working up here? Okay. He says, lend me three loaves. In verse 6, for a friend of mine, this is another person. This isn't the same. This is somebody that's come to this man. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He came to God at midnight. I have a friend that's in a journey. And he's come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. Journey. Midnight. Most people don't travel at midnight, especially back in these days, because they didn't have headlights. Camels and donkeys didn't come with headlights, but bandits did. The midnight is the furthest time from the daylight. It's furthest from the setting and the rising sun. It's the furthest you can be from light. It's the darkest time. This person is on a journey. They're on a journey through life. They are in a midnight in their life. They are in a dark time in their life. They are in a time when it is so far to the daylight they can't see it. They are in the midnight of their life. They are in the dark times of their life. They are in a terrible time in their life. And you go to hey, I know this guy goes to church over here. Maybe he can help me. Maybe he can guide me. Maybe he can give me some wisdom. Maybe he can help me through this midnight in my life. I need some help. I need some help. And he comes to your door. I don't have anything to give him. I don't have anything to give him. I don't have anything. wasn't prepared. Wasn't prepared. I don't have anything to give him. I have nothing to give him. I can't help him. This is about prayer. This is about prayer, remember? Teaching them how to pray. So you go to your friend who is the friend. And you plead with him. A friend has come to me and I don't have anything to give him. Give me some bread of life. This person needs the bread of life in their life. They are coming through a dark time of their life. They are starving spiritually. Give me three loaves. Give me three loaves. God doesn't answer right away. Hey, what are you bothering me now for? It's the middle of the night. What are you doing? Where have you been all this time? Why are you coming to me now? Why aren't you prepared? Why aren't you ready? Why are you here now? But I need it. I need it. I have. Do you? Do you really need it? Kind of a scenario. I'm already in bed. I already got my kids. We're already laid down, man. Hey, don't bug me. That doesn't sound like God, does it? But he wants to see if you're serious. By his importunity, by his persistence, by his keep going on and keep going on and keep going on. God, I need help. God, I need help. God, I need help. Then it says he will rise and give him what he needs. Maybe you need five loaves. Maybe you only need one loaf. Hey, ask for egg, you going to give him a scorpion? Ask for bread, you going to give him a stone? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He is your friend, that is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he has what you need. Remember I said, I think it was verse 13? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? Give the Holy Spirit. How do you know what to tell somebody when they come to you? The Holy Spirit tells you. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives you guidance when you're talking to someone. If you think you shouldn't say something, then don't say it. If God lays something on your heart to say, then say it. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Is not prayer asking? This is a very, very sad situation. Somebody comes to you for some spiritual help, and you can't help them. Because you have no bread in the cupboard. You have no spirituality in your life. You don't have anything to share with them. Because you're not spiritual. You don't have anything to share with them. They know you're a Christian. You go to church and stuff like that. You're their friend. They need some help, so they come to you. I have nothing to lay before them. That's sad. That's so sad. because of his importunity, because he keeps asking and keeps asking, and proves to God that he's serious. So many times people only pray when they want something or need something or have an urgent need or whatever. Reading a story about an evangelist, and he was having this revival and this preacher's meeting and all this stuff. They was having a lot of trouble and persecution and getting set up and places and all kinds of things. It just wasn't going good. And the other guy was just praying and praying and praying and praying. Why aren't you praying, brother? Why aren't you praying? He says, I stay prayed up. I stay prayed up. So many times things happen in our life. We have a lot of catching up to do. We have some getting right to get done, you know. We have some things in our life that we got to get cleared out of our life. And we got to get back in communication with God. We've been backslidden or whatever. And we got to get back in there with God. And we got a lot of catching up to do. Don't get that way. Stay caught up. Stay caught up in your prayer life. Stay caught up in your testimony. Stay caught up in your Bible reading. Stay caught up in your studying. Stay caught up. Stay close to God. Drifting is a slow process. And you don't even notice it. And all of a sudden you're way off over here. And God's still been going straight. But you kind of drifted off. And then something happens. Ah! You got to work to get back over here. Stay caught up. Stay close to God. So He can use you. So you can share the blessings in your life. Well, yeah, brother, I just remembered that. You know, I was talking about that. There was a lady that called the shop the other day. She's having all kinds of problems. She called because she could talk to somebody that could help her. Sometimes the phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember Brother Wood talking about one time he got a phone call. Just got his number out of the phone book. I'm a preacher. He says, I've got a gun in my head and I'm getting ready to pull the trigger. Why shouldn't I do it? That'll wake you up, huh? Clear the sand out of your eyes and ears and you know, hey, what are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? I just found out I'm pregnant. What are you going to tell them? I just lost my job. What are you going to tell them? I just found out I have cancer. What are you going to tell them? My son's run away. I don't know where he's at. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Hey, I just realized I'm not saved. What are you going to tell them? I need God in my life. My life is a mess. What are you going to tell them? I'm in jail. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Do you have anything ready to lay in front of them? You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. And you need to be prayed up. Because if you want to help people, then you've got to be a help. If God's going to send somebody to you to help them, then you need to have something to help them with. You need to have some spiritual bread that you can open up and share with them and be ready. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember those little plastic loaves used to set on the kitchen table? Said our daily bread. And each one of those, there was 365 little prayers or little devotions in there. What was that called? The daily bread, huh? That's your daily bread. The living bread. That when you partake of, your soul will never be hungry again. Let's stand to our feet while we have a time of invitation. See what God would have us to do tonight. Maybe you've got some catching up you need to do. Well, this is a good time to get started. This old-fashioned altar. Maybe you realize you're not prepared. Well, you need to work on getting that way. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this precious word in your word tonight. God, help us, guide us, direct us. God, let us be always ready for those that come to us in their midnight of need, that we might have the living bread to lay before them. We ask this in the name of Jesus.